If you want to be turning, you can go to Acts chapter 1. That's the first reference we'll look up of many tonight, Acts chapter 1. And we see a division in the book of Acts that's unmistakable. We talked about it last week, and I'll just briefly review. In fact, let me do this. We'll do question and answer. I love that. I feel like I'm in my Bible Institute class on Saturday. A question and answer. Acts chapter 1 through 8, the beginning part of the book of Acts, who is kind of like the spokesman and the chief figure there in Acts 1 through 8? Who is it?
Peter.
That's right. Acts 13 through 28, Peter kind of disappears, and who's the chief spokesman then?
Paul.
The whole biblical record gets concerned with the Apostle Paul. Acts 9 through 12 give you the transition from Peter to Paul. And then Peter just kind of disappears, and we don't see him anymore talked about in the Acts of the Apostles. He just disappears. We know that Paul confronted him to his face for some hypocrisy towards the Gentiles. We learn in Galatians 2. But we also learn in Galatians 2 that Paul and Peter had two completely different ministries. If you read Galatians 2, 7 through 9, you quickly see that Paul and Peter had two separate ministries, two very distinct different ministries. Now, you are never going to understand issues like water baptism until you understand this basic Bible principle about Peter, okay, and then all of a sudden the shift over here to Paul. Until you see that, it's an unmistakable division in your Bible, then issues like this are going to continue to confuse you. Did Paul get his message from Peter, yes or no?
No.
He got it directly from Jesus Christ. He said, I did not receive it of man. I received it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ, Galatians 1, Ephesians 3. So would we expect their message to be different, yes or no? Well, sure we would. I mean, if Paul didn't get it from Peter and Jesus Christ gave special revelations to Paul, obviously then there was something that God wanted to give to Paul that hadn't been given up to that point. And they, in fact, were different. We learn in Galatians 2, 2 Peter 3. Remember this, as you study your Bible, remember this, that God progressively reveals Himself throughout the Scripture. You understand that? That God, the Bible wasn't just given at one lump sum, you know, in a one-year period, okay? The Bible was written over 1,500 years. And the Bible, God delves out truth, you know, systematically throughout the ages. In other words, Moses knew more of God's truth than Noah, you know. And Noah had no written word, see. And to Moses was given the whole Old Testament law. So Moses knew more than Noah, right? Okay. Would you agree with me that then we come to John the Baptist, that there was some new revelation given to John, he knew more than Moses. Would you agree? Sure. And would you agree then that John the Baptist, you remember, he's beheaded there, and then Christ has an earthly ministry and spends 3.5 years with Peter, James, and John and the 12, and then spends 40 days with them after his resurrection? Would you agree with me that it would not be wrong to say Peter knew more than John the Baptist, right? Sure, there was more revelation given to Peter. But then Paul comes on the scene, and God gives some special revelations to Paul that he didn't give to Peter. And so would you agree with me, Paul got some revelation and some truth that Peter didn't get, right? Right. And that's what Paul teaches. Paul said in Colossians 1 it was given to him to fulfill or to complete the Word of God. So you got to understand, as you study your Bible, truth is not just given out in one lump sum. Okay, we've got it all in one lump sum, but it wasn't distributed that way. It was given over a period of years, and more truth was given out as time went on. Now, last week we began to examine water baptism before Paul's commission in the book of Acts. And we examined water baptism, the baptisms or the washings under the Old Testament law system. Then we fast-forwarded to John the Baptist, and we looked at baptism and what it meant for John the Baptist. And now we're going to continue to examine this, and we're going to continue moving through. And in your handout, I want to focus now on baptism under Christ's commissions to the 11. Now, we studied baptism under the law, John the Baptist, and then we studied Christ's earthly ministry for 3.5 years with the 12, and they basically preached and taught exactly what John the Baptist taught. But then after the resurrection, okay, and just to kind of set the stage here, here we are in John 20:19. You don't have to turn there, but actually you can. Just go back a couple pages, John chapter 20. You're in Acts 1 anyway. Just go back a couple pages, John 20 verse 19. Here we are, Christ had died on the cross. Judas had hung himself. And now there's 11 of them left. And they're cowering behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Things could not have looked worse. Look at verse 19, John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Christ, when things looked their darkest, Christ had died, Judas had hung himself, the disciples are behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, all of a sudden Christ breaks in on this meeting, okay? And he appears to them after his bodily resurrection from the dead. Now, in your handout, it says, after this, Christ spent 40 days with the apostles, instructing and teaching them of things pertaining to his coming kingdom. Look with me at Acts chapter 1 now. Let's go over there. This is after the resurrection. Acts 1, verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself, talking about the 12, the apostles, that to them he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs being seen of them, how many days? 40 days. And now what was he talking about with them? He was speaking of the things pertaining to the what? The kingdom of God. So he continues teaching and instructing them about this coming kingdom for the nation of Israel. And in your handout, it says this. Get this statement. The apostles were to tarry at Jerusalem until Christ baptized them with the Holy Spirit, which would mean supernatural power. Look at Acts chapter 1, and everybody go down to verse 4. Would you do that? Acts 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Christ was assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, go back with me to Luke, right before the book of John, and he said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Wait in Jerusalem till I do it, boys. Now, look with me at Luke 24. And look at Luke 24, 49. Luke 24, well, let's see. Yeah, go to 49. Luke 24, last chapter of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, Christ told him after the resurrection, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Now notice this. What did the coming of the Holy Spirit mean? He said, until ye be endued with what? Power from on high. Christ, now look up here, Christ was going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost, which would mean power. Power for them to witness of the risen Christ beginning at Jerusalem. Alright? Now, think about this. Christ baptized them with the Holy Spirit. Today in this dispensation, Paul reveals it's just the opposite. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into Christ. We learned that, didn't we? So, on the day of Pentecost, it's something completely different. Christ is going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost, give them a special unction so they could have special power, okay? So they would overcome their fear, overcome any inhibitions they may have, and so they could stand boldly and proclaim to all of Israel on the feast day of Pentecost that Christ was risen from the dead. Well, but today, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ. But on the day of Pentecost, Christ baptized them with the Holy Ghost, which meant special power. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 again. I should have had you keep your bookmarker there. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Did I have you keep it there? No. No, I didn't. I'm sorry. Will y'all forgive me for that? All right, thank you. You're such a wonderful group. Acts 1, verse 8. He said, notice what he instructed them. He told them to wait at Jerusalem. Why? But ye shall receive, notice the key word here, say it with me, what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And notice, ye shall be witnesses unto me, Christ said, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The prophetic program was that it was going to start at Jerusalem, okay, and then it would spread out from there. Okay, so that was what the prophetic program called. The kingdom would be established in Jerusalem with Christ ruling and reigning over the earth in Jerusalem. So that's where they were to start and endeavor to convert the leadership of Israel, and then from there go to the cities in throughout the nation of Israel. Now, the question is this, church. Here we are. We know water baptism, we learned last week, was a very important part of John the Baptist's ministry, Christ's earthly ministry, the 12's earthly ministry. But now here we are on the other side of the cross. We're on the other side of the resurrection. And now Christ is going to commission his apostles there. And would water baptism still play a central role in what they were doing? Well, go to Matthew 28, and let's look at a couple passages here. Matthew 28, and look at it with me here. Matthew 28, this is a very misunderstood text right here. I'm telling you, this is so misunderstood by so many people. Matthew 28, and verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Notice this, we know they were to start at Jerusalem, okay? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then notice, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Now, look, church, what were they to teach the nations, according to that passage? They were to teach the nations what? The things, though, were they going to be teaching the things that Paul has taught us? Wasn't revealed yet. So what were they supposed to be teaching? What truth was revealed up to that point? Well, obviously, the earthly ministry of Christ to Israel, right? And they traveled with Him and they learned from Him for 3.5 years. So they're going to continue on with that kingdom prophetic program that Christ had revealed to them. Now, let me ask you something. Today, what do we teach? What do our missionaries preach? Well, we teach that Christ died for our sins, and through faith in Christ, that we have peace with God, where the righteousness of Christ is imputed unto us, apart from any works of the law. Now, is there any record of the 12 preaching what I just said in the book of Acts? No. They didn't preach. Why? It just wasn't revealed yet. Not that they were bad guys or missed anything. It just wasn't revealed yet. God would raise up Paul later to reveal that, to take to the nations. Okay? They, in your handout, it says they were to preach the things Christ had taught them concerning His earthly kingdom for Israel. And baptism, as we just read in verse 19, was once again an integral part of their message. Baptism continues to be an integral part of their message to Israel. Look with me at Mark, the next book, chapter 16. Go to the last chapter. And this passage right here has given Baptists indigestion for years right here. And there's really no reason for it to, if you simply understand the distinct apostleship and message of Paul, and if you understand that that's not even in play right here, and if you understand where we're at in the program of God, Mark 16 makes perfect sense, okay? If you understand, Israel is still in view, the kingdom is still in view, They're still supposed to bring Israel to repentance. They're still looking for that kingdom to be restored. Okay? Look what he tells them to do. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, you know, you read that, and a lot of Baptists do a lot of fancy footwork right there to try to make that say something else. But it says what it says. All right? And it makes perfect sense when you understand God's program for the nation of Israel and the kingdom that was at hand here. Look with me in your handout. It says this passage is clear. Water baptism was to continue to be an integral part of the gospel message they preached. Water baptism, it was part of the obedience of faith. If you're in your handout, it says, if a person believed the apostles' message concerning the risen Christ, what would they do? If you're a Jew and you believe what these guys say about the risen Christ, then what are you going to do? In your handout, it says they would be water baptized to prepare for the return of this Messiah and the establishment of His kingdom. Now, God was going to baptize these guys with the Holy Spirit as evidenced by miraculous sign gifts. You just read it in verses 17 and 18. Okay? Why? Because you're dealing with Israel. This was to confirm the message to Israel that Christ, the one you crucified, was the Messiah, and His wrath and His kingdom are coming. Throughout Israel's history, the Jews always required a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, the Jews require a sign. Miraculous signs and wonders are part of Israel's history all the way back to Exodus when God sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. What did He give Moses to convince them? He gave them signs. Moses, they're not going to believe me. And God said, well, I'll give you these signs and they'll believe. And you know, put your arm in there, it's leprous, put it back in, it's healed. Turn the water into blood. And I was asking my Bible Institute class that. I said, remember, I was talking about the signs for Moses. And I said, what did he do with the water? He turned the water into, and they all said, wine. No! I'm like, man, what's going on here? What do they got on their mind? And so, Moses turned the water into what? Blood. And oh, mercy. All right. Anyway, where was I? And what was the other one? Take up the snake. Take up the rod and it would become a snake, right? Y'all want any part of that sign? You know, so throughout, my point is, throughout their history, God dealt with Israel through signs. So when He sends out the apostles, He says, I'm going to give you power from on high. You're going to do these signs. Why? I'm going to give you these signs because the Jews require a sign. When you preach to Israel, you're going to have these signs. The Holy Spirit would be given. These signs would be the evidenced power of the Holy Spirit in those Spirit-filled apostles, and so that those who heard them would believe that message. And those who believed the message were then to be baptized in water to prepare for that coming kingdom, just like John the Baptist preached, just like Jesus preached, just like the 12 preached. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 28, you just continue teaching the things I've taught you guys. Okay? And so that was the commission. That was what they were supposed to do. Continue teaching these things I've taught you about the kingdom. Okay? And about the preparation for this kingdom. and you continue teaching these things, but the difference being, I'm going to give you miraculous power from the Holy Spirit on high, and you're going to evidence it with these signs in verses 17 and 18. Okay? Now, folks, you know, those signs right there take up serpents. Are you interested in doing that? I'm not. Let me tell you something. Brother Ralph Jones brings in a bunch of snakes. I'm not touching them, are you? You're on your own, buddy. And Brother Ralph, he likes to go out and do a lot of visiting. Can't you just see him? You know? He instead of taking a handout from Sunday, he brings in a snake into the nursing home, and you know. And no, I mean, listen, guys. Do these signs have anything to do with us today? Yes or no? Of course not. Of course not. Israel is not the issue today. They've been cast aside, Paul said. They've fallen away. Okay, they're not the issue right now. They will be the issue again after the rapture. Right now, they're not the issue. Okay, so because Israel's program has been temporarily suspended and set aside, that's why these sign gifts, you see them just kind of disappearing in the New Testament, in the Bible here. And because they were meant for the nation of Israel. Now, let's go in your handout to the next section. This is going to get good. Baptism under Peter. After Christ's post-resurrection commissions to the 11, Christ is taken up into heaven. Go to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to spend some time here in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, and I want you to see these verses. Acts 1, verse 10. Christ is taken up, a cloud receives him. Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Who would those two men be? Angels. And which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Is that talking about the rapture of the church today? No. Because in the rapture, does he come down to the earth? Yes or no? Where does he come? In the clouds. So this is a confirmation to them, okay? Just as you've seen him go from earth to heaven, he's going to come back from heaven to earth. This is a confirmation of Christ's coming earthly kingdom. See, that's all still in view here. This is all what they're looking for. Now, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, a Jewish feast day comes. Jerusalem's packed with people for this feast day. People from all nations, Jews, from all nations, Jewish proselytes, from all nations have come to Jerusalem for this feast day. And the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, 1 through 5, just as promised by Christ. Okay? In your handout, it says, as instructed, they witness. Peter's the chief spokesman here, but they witness, the 12 witness of the resurrected Christ, and they warn Israel of coming wrath. Okay, go to Acts chapter 2, after you write that in. They warn them of, they witness of the resurrected Christ, and they warn Israel of coming wrath. That's part of the prophetic program, the wrath that was going to come. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Acts 2, 32. Notice what Peter tells them here. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. That's a warning of the wrath of God that's going to be poured out on God's foes, God's enemies. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of who?
Israel.
Who's he talking to?
Israel.
Know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So now you go down to verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now what in the world is Peter going to say? Does Peter say, hey, you know what? You crucified Christ, but you know what? That's all part of the plan. And you know what? If you'll just put your faith in Him, and you don't need anything, just put your faith and trust in Him, and the righteousness of Christ will be imputed unto you, and you'll be at peace with God. Is that what he says? No, because that hadn't been revealed. The wonderful things that happened on that cross haven't been revealed through Paul yet. That's going to come years later. Peter tells him exactly what Christ told him to say. Now, I want you to get this. Peter tells him exactly what Christ had taught him to say. Look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be what? Baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We got it. You want it? Here's how you get it. He tells them. Now, in your handout, get this statement. He tells them exactly what Christ taught him to say. He told them to repent and demonstrate their faith in the apostles' message by uniting with the apostles in water baptism. Now, quickly, this is going to result in three wonderful blessings. If they will repent and be baptized, okay? Remember what Christ said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If they'll repent and be baptized, believe their message, and follow the Lord in baptism, unite with them through baptism, here's what's going to happen. Here's what the blessings that God's going to give them. Number one, remission of sins. Verse 38. Repent and be baptized, he said, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Number two, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, and, okay, this is something added, see, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Remember, John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. But now Peter, there's a little bit of new revelation here. He says, okay, not only will you be prepared for that remission of sins, but also you're going to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then number three, you're going to get deliverance from the wrath to come on the unbelieving nation of Israel. That, look with me at verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, look at this, save yourselves. What are they getting saved from here? You know? That's what you always got to look at. What are they going to get saved? If they repent and get baptized, what are they going to get saved from? Save yourselves from this untoward what? Generation. They're going to get saved and delivered from the wrath that's going to come on the unbelieving nation of Israel. Those that believe, in your handout, it says, those that believe Peter's message, okay, were united with the little flock, the 120 there, through water baptism. Look at Acts chapter 1. Well, no, we won't go there right now. Acts 1:15, there's 120, okay? And they are going to be united with the 120 by means of water baptism. In verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, the 120, about 3,000 souls. But then what happens next? It's funny how that many of my Baptist friends, they camp out right there, and they want to camp out in little sections of Acts chapter 2 and talk about the day of Pentecost and all this, but they don't want to read on and do the rest of this. Okay? They repented and they were baptized, but then notice what happens after that. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And what did God do? God did many what? Wonders and signs. See, just like he said in Mark 16, they were done by the apostles. Look at verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You ever known any churches to do that? Let's have a rummage sale. Everybody sell everything you got. Why? Well, we got to get back to Pentecost. We got to go back to Pentecost, man. We got to do what we got to get back to Pentecost. And you hear preachers talk about needing to get back to Pentecost, and they don't have a clue what's going on at Pentecost. Okay? This is the 12 preaching to Israel to repent in view of the coming kingdom to be saved from the wrath that's going to come on Israel. That's what's going on here. And he's calling them to repent and identify with the little flock through baptism to prepare themselves to be saved from that wrath that's coming. And if you look through here, they sell their possessions. Look at verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Did you notice that? They had church every day. Every day. So if we're going to get back to Pentecost, I'll see y'all tomorrow night too. And I'll see you Friday night. And I'll see you Saturday night. See? They had church every day. See? And look at it. Verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Daily, see? Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness. They're getting ready, man. They're preparing themselves for that kingdom to come. Now, let's go back to verse 38. Some people try to say here, when Peter promises them the remission of sins, this is very common among many of my Baptist friends, and I love them to death, but what they'll say, when Peter promises them the remission of sins, it had nothing to do with their baptism. They didn't have to be baptized to get that. Well, look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The way you read that, would you say that baptism was necessary? Yes or no? That's the way I read it. Now, here's the way out of that for a lot of guys. We're going to see it doesn't hold water, though. A lot of people will say, and I know all about this, okay, that they'll say, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And the word for, they say that's the Greek word eis. It's the Greek preposition eis. And it's in the accusative case, showing motion towards something. So they say, many people will say, because this group, what Peter's saying is, because you already have remission of sins, you need to be baptized. Because you already have it, you need to be baptized. Well, that can't be true. Because of Acts 3:19. Go over to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Look what he tells them here. Okay? Same time frame here. Acts 3:19. He tells them, again, it's Israel he's preaching to. Israel. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Watch this. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. When were they going to get their sins forgiven and remitted? According to that passage. When were they going to get it? Come on, read it. When were they going to have their sins blotted out and remitted? When? It's future. They are repenting and being baptized in view of a future remitting of their sins when Christ would return to the earth and establish that long-awaited kingdom. Look at verse 21. Verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, notice, until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now look up here. Peter says, if you take Acts 2 and 3, he says to Israel, you need to repent. You need to identify with us in baptism, with the little flock in baptism. Why? Because the wrath's coming, and after the wrath, Christ is coming back. And when Christ comes back and establishes that kingdom, if you want to be part of that group that gets in on the Jeremiah 31 promise of the new covenant and the Hebrews 8 promise to the house of Israel of the new covenant that God will remember their sins no more, that happens at the second coming of Christ to the earth for the nation of Israel. So if they want any hope then of having their sins remitted, being part of that group that's going to get their sins remitted, Peter says that's going to happen when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord and he sends Jesus Christ and he brings the restitution of all things in that kingdom. So that's when the sins are going to be remitted. That's when the sins are going to be blotted out. So Acts 2:38 can't be saying to be baptized because you've already got remission of sins. Acts 3 makes it clear that's a future blotting out and remitting. So baptism was essential to be a part of that remnant that would have their sins blotted out and remitted when Christ returns. Are y'all with me? Say amen. I mean, some of you I know, it's like, woo! You know, and I understand that. But, you know, it's Wednesday night and we deal in meat a lot here. So, you know, if you don't get it, get the CD or listen to it online and get this. Because so much false doctrine comes out of the first seven chapters of the book of Acts. So much false doctrine. Because they just don't understand the context. I've been teaching my Bible Institute class. You gotta get the context. If you don't know what's going on in that passage, you'll get so confused and twisted and turned around Know what's going on. Know what's happening. Okay? In those first seven chapters of Acts, none of the Pauline revelation's been given yet. None of the mystery for the body of Christ has been revealed yet. None of the glorious things that where Paul said, "I glory in the cross." None of that's been revealed yet. They're preaching to Israel to repent of crucifying their Messiah because he's risen from the dead, and they got these signs and wonders to present to Israel to convince them to repent and to turn to Christ and to unite with the little flock in baptism because they're preparing for that wrath to come, preparing themselves to be saved from that lost and untoward generation of Israel, and to prepare for Jesus to come back and bring the times of restitution that he promised the nation of Israel. So you got to get the context. You got to know what's going on. All right. So now I hope this helps you. All right. I hope this, as you read Acts now, you'll get this. And this is why you got Peter so dominant in the beginning part of Acts, but then all of a sudden he disappears. Why? Because there was something hidden in God from the foundation of the world these guys didn't know about. You know what it is? See, they're looking for the wrath to come. When Israel rejects the apostles and they stone Stephen, then the wrath's ready to be poured out, but instead of God pouring out wrath, he saves his chief enemy and reveals to him the dispensation of grace that we live in today. Amen. God reveals something that was hidden, kept secret from the foundation of the world. And so Peter just kind of fades off the scene. And the apostle of the Gentiles, the one who was revealed this dispensation, takes center stage in the book of Acts. So you've got to see these things or you can get so turned around. Now, real quick, I'm just going to mention this. I don't even have time to go there. But I will mention this. I think it's important. In Acts chapter 10, God gives to Peter. Now listen, Peter. This is one of the few. Remember, I said Acts 9 through 12 gives you the transition from Peter to Paul. In Acts 10, Peter gets a very odd commission. Christ said to Peter, "I want you to go to a Gentile's house named Cornelius, and I want you to tell him, Peter, about me." Well, wait a minute. Peter's scratching his head, and he kind of resisted the idea. And some people teach, "Oh, Peter had a lack of faith," and that's all a bunch of hogwash. Okay, the reason why Peter wasn't quick to act on that, and the reason why he was confused over that vision, is because the prophetic program had called for the conversion of who first? Who had to be converted first before the kingdom could come? Israel. So he said, "You start at Jerusalem and work your way out from there." So Israel had to be converted first, and then Israel would be a blessing to all nations. Well, Peter knew the plan. He'd been instructed in it by Christ. Can you imagine? He had personal tutoring from Christ for 40 days after the resurrection. He knew the plan, guys. And so Acts 10 is clearly a diversion from the prophetic plan that Peter had been taught. In your handout, it says, "To Peter's amazement, these believing Gentiles received the Holy Spirit before ever being baptized." They got the Holy Spirit, but they were never dunked. Like Acts 2:38, Peter told them. See, Peter commanded them to be baptized after they had already received the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? Now, this was different than the kingdom program that Peter had been instructed in and had preached. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit without water baptism, and the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit apart from the conversion of Israel. These Gentiles got the Holy Spirit despite Israel's rejection. Well, they weren't supposed to get... The blessing was supposed to come through converted Israel to the Gentiles. So this is kind of weird. Well, think about it. That's Acts 10. Does anybody know what happened in Acts chapter 9, a chapter before that? There was a really important guy that got saved that chapter. Anybody know who it was? Paul. And that conversion in Acts 9 is going to bring a radical change in the program of God. Peter didn't know that yet. That's why he scratched his head and didn't understand why Christ would want him to go to a Gentile's house. So why would God allow Peter to divert away from the kingdom program he'd been instructed in? Why would God give the Holy Spirit to uncircumcised, unbaptized Gentiles. Here's why. Let me give it to you. Ready in your handout. Last thing. Because God was preparing the Jewish church, and the church was totally Jewish up to this point. He was preparing them to receive the man who would take the gospel of God's grace to the Gentiles apart from Israel. And he would become, of course, known as the apostle of the Gentiles. And who am I talking about? Paul. So, would water baptism hold the same prominence under Paul's commission and his ministry as it did Peter and the 12? Next week we'll find out. I got to quit. It's 8 o'clock. Next week we're going to start examining Paul. And we're going to look at Paul and see if there's a change here, okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word.